Let's break up all this NFL conversation with a little bit of baseball news. Couple of stories today. First, Royals spring training down in Arizona. Royals lose today to the Cleveland Guardians by a score of 5-2. Royals had 10 hits, but unfortunately they were 2 of 15 with runners in scoring position. Kind of the highlights of the day. The only multi-hit game in this one came courtesy of Tyler Tolbert. He was 2 for 2 in limited plate appearances today. Kevin Biggio was 1 for 2. I learned that a couple weeks ago that his name is not Kevon Biggio, which is what I thought it was his entire time in Major League Baseball. Gavin Cross, 1 for 2 in the game. Bobby Witt Jr. went 1 for 3. Jonathan India was 1 for 3. Chris Bubich gave up 2 earned across 3 innings of work. Michael Lorenzen gave up a run. John Schreiber gave up a run as well. So the Royals are now 10-7 in spring training thus far. The only other big storyline out of Major League Baseball today, New York Yankees ace pitcher Garrett Cole is now going to miss the entire 2025 season undergoing Tommy John surgery. He will miss all of this year and could potentially miss a chunk of next year as well. He already went and went through a second opinion with Dr. Neil L. Attriche, if I'm pronouncing that right. He's going to undergo the Tommy John surgery tomorrow with the team. So, yeah, Garrett Cole out for the remainder of the year, putting a big dent in the Yankees' hopes of getting back to a World Series, which leaves the door very much open and available to other teams, other contenders in the American League, which now, by all intents and purposes, includes our very own Kansas City Royals to some extent. So kind of an interesting story there. Garrett Cole out for the remainder of the year. Of course, we've been talking Chiefs here to open up this edition of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Chris Unocero alongside producing tonight's program. Not all the stories that came out this weekend were good stories for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we still don't know everything. Obviously, this is an investigation that is still ongoing. This is not over with, folks. I want to reiterate that. This is not over, but Xavier Worthy at this time is not being charged in a situation, and if you haven't heard about it, boy howdy, it's a doozy. Earlier in the weekend, it was an announcement came out that Xavier Worthy was arrested in Williamson County. He was booked into the Williamson County jail on Friday for allegedly assaulting a family member or household member by impeding their breathing or circulation, which was in charge with a third. As of now, district attorneys have announced that they are not pursuing charges at this time. Again, the investigation is still ongoing. They don't believe they have enough evidence right now. So they have, at least for the time being, dropped the charges. In a statement from Worthy's attorneys over the weekend, they said, quote, "The complainant was recently asked to vacate Mr. Worthy's residence upon discovery of her infidelity. She has refused to do so and made a number of extortive efforts prior to resorting to this baseless allegation against Mr. Worthy," which I find kind of fascinating. So, at least according to Worthy's lawyers, his fiance had apparently cheated or had cheated multiple times, and he was trying to get her out of the house. She had used multiple different excuses to try to stay around. She had, based on the definition, she tried to extort him, whatever that means, or had done it a number of times, and he had finally tried to get her out of the house, and now she decides that she was going to try to use the assault line of work this time. So again, it's not over yet. They're still investigating. We'll just see how this whole thing plays out. But another unfortunate off-season situation involving a Chiefs wide receiver, which has become all too common.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I was pissed when the news first came out because I was like, come on, man. Like, we're already dealing with we're still dealing with the aftermath of the Rashi situation. Hopefully we get some clarity on that at some point. But, you know, it was interesting when his lawyers did put out that statement, unequivocally denying all the charges and whatnot. And then later that day we saw that they declined to press charges. I mean, I defer a little bit more to legal expert Seth Kaiser from who's part of KCSN, does Only Weird Games with Nate Taylor and Joshua Briscoe. You can hear here during football seasons on 96.5 The Fan. He's a lawyer. He's a prosecutor, so he kind of went deep in on the kind of procedures of that. And you know, he basically said, like, the whole, you know, we're still investigating a part is. Kind of legal jargon for if anything changes, obviously we'll talk about, we'll look into it, but that, you know, at least at this time, there had to be some sort of evidence that would cause those charges to be dismissed. So I'm going to defer to that part. I don't know what evidence was put out there. There's a lot of details we don't know, and we probably will never know. Unless he speaks on it or someone around him speaks on it. But at this point in time, because it looks like nothing is going to come out of it right now, then I think it at this point is more than, it's a good thing. Nothing has come out of that. Okay, let's move on now. Yeah. That's kind of my whole take on it. Just because we don't know all the details about the situation around it. And I just think at this point, because, like, there were a lot of fans who are haters of the Chiefs who were kind of rooting for this to be something bigger than what it was, which I think is pretty gross. I don't think that's ever something you should root for in any of those situations like that. So I just hope that in Worthy's case, he is able to put this behind him and he's able to take care of himself in the ways that he needs to avoid a situation like this. Cause, man, he's really talented. He seems like a really good kid. And it always breaks my heart whenever I see these athletes get into these types of situations, because, like, man, this is an opportunity that very few people ever get.
Yeah.
And it sucks when you do see guys squander that opportunity for whatever reason. And so I hope that Worthy is able to take care of himself and his family and make sure he doesn't get into, and sometimes you can't control it, but hopefully he gets himself into a situation where he's able to be more careful in this type of instance, maybe involve authorities or something so that he has his bases covered. Like I said, to me, it's just like, you got to be extra careful because you got a lot at stake here that the average person does not have.
Yeah.
So you just have a plan next time, just in case something like this happens again, because there are people out there that will get you into this kind of trouble. Right. So like I said, there's a lot of things we don't know. Maybe something pops up that does put him in trouble, but we don't know about that right now. Correct. We just know what we know. So correct. At this point, hopefully he takes care of himself, stay out of trouble, and come back to Missouri. Stay out of Texas. Too many Chiefs receivers are having problems down in Texas. Come back to Missouri. I know it's not exciting. Believe me, the weather's a lot better now, though. Like, come back here. Be boring. That's fine. Get in your playbook. Play some Madden or something. Hang out with the guys. Just stay out of trouble.
I would tend to agree. Yeah, reading the reports and stuff over the weekend, from what I understand, it's like law in Texas. It is law in Texas when they respond to a domestic violence situation or a domestic violence call, they're supposed to make an arrest. So they arrested Xavier Worthy, and then from there, they go about building a case and collecting evidence, and it was that following day after the arrest that they were able to get in contact with witnesses who were there on Friday and said that the information that they gathered led to them declining to file charges. That's where we sit right now. But again, the investigation still ongoing. So we'll let a sleeping dog lie in that situation and move on to other things going on across the NFL landscape. 913-586-7965. Quarterbacks are moving across the National Football League. We'll get to that next here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
A lot of news coming out of the NFL over the past few days with the new league year approaching, NFL free agency beginning, the temporary legal tampering period or whatever you want to call it. We talked about the Chiefs, but how about the quarterback situation? We always know that the quarterback market in the NFL is wild. And we talked on Friday, because right before the show started was Geno Smith being traded by the Seahawks to the Raiders. Turns out that there was some validity to the fact that the Seahawks were very much fans of Sam Darnold, and they proved it. Seattle signing free agent quarterback Sam Darnold after a remarkable year. I mean, let's face it, he had a great year with the Vikings, be it his only outstanding year of his career. But they signed Darnold to a 3-year, $100.5 million deal, which includes $55 million guaranteed. So really, that's a 3 years, $100 million. It's just over $33 million a year, 33.5. It's a pretty cheap deal for a quarterback in the NFL today. Very surprised that the Vikings couldn't stomach that number. Unless they have some otherworldly belief that J.J. McCarthy is their guy, I can't see how the Vikings couldn't have outbid Seattle in that sense and brought him back on a similar deal for 3 years, $110 million.
I personally think the Vikings were like, we're not paying you that. Like, hell no. Like, we think we could probably get similar from JJ, which I don't think they can. I'm not a big JJ McCarthy fan, but I damn sure would not have paid Sam Darnold that much money. Hell no. Like, you want to do $20 million a year? Okay, we can talk about that. $30 million a year? No, I'm good.
But you look across the NFL right now at quarterback pay, Sam Darnold doesn't touch where some of these other guys are at.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Absolutely right. It's just like the problem I would have is with how much of the cap he's taken up versus his actual impact. Like, I'm not a big Sam Darnold believer. I think he benefited from having a great play caller and having great weapons around him. Now you're going to Seattle, and I like Clint Kubiak, but I don't know if Clint Kubiak is that kind of a guy. He's going to lift you up like that because he didn't do that with Derek Carr last year. And then on top of that, you don't have the weapons because you just traded away your best wide receiver to the Steelers. So in that regard, I'm not a big believer that Sam Darnold is about to uplift the Seahawks in a way that Geno Smith couldn't.
No. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, just look at what the Seahawks have done the last few days. They cut Tyler Lockett. They cut Draymond Jones, Roy Robertson-Harris, Rayshon Jenkins, and they cut offensive tackle George Fant. They traded Geno to the Raiders for a third and traded DK Metcalf for a second and a pick swap in like the sixth round or something. But
which this year doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
The picks and that part ain't that good.
The crazy thing is that you just signed Sam Darnold, who's considerably younger than Geno Smith, coming off of a Pro Bowl year, for less money than you would have paid Geno this season. They actually got cheaper at quarterback by trading Geno for a third and then picking up Sam Darnold. I'm kind of baffled by that. Because Sam Darnold had a better year last year than Geno Smith did. Now, over the last 3 years, who's been the better player? It's been Geno Smith, but Geno's into his 30s now. Sam Darnold is 27, which is still considerably young for a quarterback in the National Football League. So that's kind of one of the bigger quarterback dominoes to have fallen in the last few days. Justin Fields is going to the New York Jets. So he will be the heir apparent to the disaster that was the Aaron Rodgers experience and experiment there. So I can't remember exactly what it was. It like 3 for 30 or two for 40?
2 for 40.
2 for 40, including 30 guaranteed.
I think 30 is guaranteed, yeah. Which sounds to me like it's a 1-year deal, and then you hope you suck enough so that you can get a high pick next year and maybe take Drew Aller or Arch Manning or whoever the top quarterbacks are next year.
It's going to be fascinating to see. Speaking of the Jets, ex-Jets quarterback Zach Wilson has signed with the Miami Dolphins on a one-year, $6 million fully guaranteed deal. There are incentives and escalators that could push it to $10 million that will not hit, barring another injury by Tua Tagovailoa, which I hope does not happen. So Zach Wilson, former number two overall pick, is now going to be a backup to Tua in Miami. So that's another quarterback move there. And then the Cleveland Browns, who have decided, I don't know what, they said we need a new quarterback. So they trade for Kenny Pickett. So Kenny Pickett going to Cleveland for Dorian Thompson-Robinson and a fifth-round pick. You're telling me that Kenny Pickett and Deebo Samuel have the same trade value? Is that what you're telling me right now? How did Kenny Pickett and Deebo Samuel both, by being traded, lead to getting a fifth-round pick back in return? And the Eagles got another quarterback and a fifth-round pick in return.
Well, I mean, the only reason why Deebo got traded for a five is because the Commanders took on his contract value. That's why. If they weren't going to take on the contract value, it would have cost them a bigger pick. But because they took on his entire cap hit for this year, you're not going to then pay anything more than a five for that, because that doesn't make any sense. Because, yeah, like usually when you are trading a guy like that to another team, you're going to then take on some of the cap hit so you can get some good draft compensation back. But it isn't a very good trade for the Commanders if you take his full contract and then send a premium pick for him, especially because you could make a very strong case he's very much declining.
Yeah.
So I think it was a fair trade for the value there.
I just think by like name recognition alone, it seems wild to me that Kenny Pickett and Deebo Samuel on the surface have the same value. But I agree with you. Once you get down into the details of it and you look at Deebo making what he's making despite having injury issues throughout his career, it makes a little bit more sense. And plus, it's the quarterback position, and that likely means Kenny Pickett is going to be the Browns' day one starter next year, and they seem to think he could, you know, maybe do something. I don't know.
No, I don't think they. I think they just need a veteran backup, because I think they're going to draft a quarterback. And so I think they just felt like they needed a veteran backup that has some experience to help the young, whoever they draft, if it's Shador, if it's Cam Ward, one of those two to help them along.
And of course, somebody right now is sitting here listening to the show and is obviously making the joke of, well, you know, Kenny Pickett is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Mm-hmm. Trying to close things out with this quarterback news in the NFL. How about the richest contract in NFL history, Chris? The Buffalo Bills giving Josh Allen a six-year, $330 million contract that includes $250 million fully guaranteed. That quarter of $1 billion is the most guaranteed money given to a player in NFL history. Of course, the previous mark was Deshaun Watson, who got $230 million out of the Cleveland Browns in the most obvious case of highway robbery in the history of professional sports. Josh Allen, that $250 million seems a little bit more warranted. So he's now under contract until 2030. He'll be 34 years old when that contract expires. He goes from the 14th highest paid player in terms of average annual value to tied for second. It's a lot of money getting doled out to Josh Allen. So there's now more guaranteed money for players like Josh Allen. Of course, I mentioned Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, and Joe Burrow, who are all making more guaranteed money than Patrick Mahomes is.
You know, I don't know why Josh Allen wanted this.
Yeah, why? Who cares about the guarantee? You're not going anywhere.
Well, not even just that. I think also the biggest thing is that you want to have the flexibility to create more room. That, to me, is the problem with this. Is like, you want to have more flexibility to create cap room. Or at least, that's what I would want if I were in his shoes. Because It's not a mystery as to why the Chiefs are able to be competitive every year, even though you have Patrick Mahomes on an incredibly massive contract, because you're basically able to move money around every single year. And it's like, the more guaranteed money you put on this contract, the harder it is going to be for you to replicate that if you're the Bills. And maybe, like I said, maybe Josh Allen, he cares. He wants to get that high AAV. He wants to be one of the highest paid. He wants that massive guaranteed number. And if that's your prerogative, cool, bro. Like, we all want to make money at our jobs. We all want to make a lot of money at our jobs. And that's good that that's your prerogative. But every time I see a quarterback in a position to do what Patrick Mahomes did back in 2020, none of them do it.
Mm.
And they act like they want to be up there with Mahomes, just like Brady, because Mahomes is doing what Brady did. But the only person that's willing to actually do what Brady did is Mahomes. So I don't want to hear, that's why I don't feel sorry for Josh Allen, because like every time he's had an opportunity, this is the second time now he's had an opportunity to get the kind, and maybe the Pegula family isn't down with putting that much money in escrow or whatever. I don't know what their situation is. But man, it seems to me like it'd be a really easy thing to be like, hey, let's do what Mahomes is doing in Kansas City so we can create room so that we can try to build a winning team. That just, maybe I'm crazy here.
No, that seems like the logical scenario.
I thought the Bengals might try to do that with Joe Burrow. Nope, let's just get top AAV.
And especially if you're Josh Allen, because you have run into the Kansas City Chiefs brick wall
four times
over and over and over again.
Four times.
And you can't get through it. So I don't know. Maybe Josh is just like, okay, what? I can't. It's never going to happen. I'm 0-4 against him in the playoffs. I'm never going to be able to beat the Chiefs in the postseason. I may as well just take all this guaranteed money. I don't know. Maybe as somebody who has gotten married in the past 2 years, weddings are expensive. So Josh is trying to make sure that wedding check's clear.
It ain't that expensive. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you are spending enough to where you need to take more money when you are making tens of millions of dollars a year, you have a spending problem. Like, let's just put it that way. If you have a money problem when you are making tens of millions of dollars, you need a financial advisor. That's what you need. You don't need to ask your job for more money. You need a financial advisor.
You need to put the debit card down is what you need to do for just a minute.
You need to go hit up one of them, one of them investors places or what, Chuck Schwab, places like that. You need Fisher Investment. I'm not getting paid for these advertisements, by the way.
You need
someone like that.
Learn Roth IRA, Josh.
Yeah, you need something. You need a financial advisor that's going to look out for you and not charge you all these exorbitant fees. That's what you need.
913-586-7965. So much to be had in terms of NFL news. We'll continue to dissect it here as we go along on this Monday night edition of After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Listen, you've been making house.
Man, all these teams across the National Football League signing players, trading for players, releasing players. And then there's the Dallas Cowboys. Right? The Cowboys today picked up Javonte Williams, former Broncos running back, on a 1-year, $3 million deal.
Javonte Williams is everyone's favorite fantasy running back that never lives up to the billing.
He is the Kyle Pitts of running backs in fantasy football.
He's a guy that gets drafted way too high almost every single. I think last year's value is pretty appropriate.
It's tough.
I actually think he outperformed his value last year, but for the first 3 years of his career, every year was like, overvalued.
Yeah.
Every year.
I don't think I'm alone in this. I am one of those people that gets a great deal of enjoyment out of the Dallas Cowboys not being a well-run organization. Maybe that makes me a bad person, but I think there's a lot of us out there that enjoy it when the Cowboys.
I don't think you can be a bad person rooting for another sports team to fail. I don't think that makes you a bad person.
Okay, good.
If you root for like a good person and to fail in life just because you're a bad, like that makes you a bad person. But I don't think you could do that in sports.
Well, now that I have Chris's seal of approval here, I am going to dog on the Cowboys for a minute. I saw this tweet earlier today, and it boggled my mind. Would you like to know the last time that the Dallas Cowboys signed a free agent for a contract that equaled out to over $6 million per year? Greg Hardy in 2015. They have not signed a true free agent for a contract that was over $6 million per year in a decade. The salary cap in the NFL has gone up almost $136 million since 2015, and they have not signed one free agent for over $6 million a year since 2015. Jerry, what are you doing? Like, where is the money going, Jerry?
It's going for him to overpay guys he re-signs. And, like, here's the thing. I don't have a problem if you're not going out and signing these massive free agent contracts, provided you are giving out big money to the guys that deserve it and you're doing it in a timely manner. The problem is he's overpaying guys because he's waiting until the last minute because he thinks that that's a good negotiation tactic, waiting right before the final season of that player's contract to negotiate a new contract for them is a terrible idea. And he's been doing it with Dak. He's been doing it with CD. And it's costing him way more money than it should.
And it's going to cost him way more money depending on what happens with the Micah Parsons situation. Because Max Crosby just inked that massive deal with the Raiders. Trey Hendrickson is going to get himself a pretty penny whenever the Bengals decide, you know, when they find the trade partner that works for them and, you know, Trey Hendrickson gets his extension. The longer you wait, the more of these guys are going to sign major deals. And somebody in the text line said it's a perfect example of why you don't let ownership make decisions. Yeah, I mean, the moment that Jimmy Johnson left Dallas, everything flew downhill. And yes, I know Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys, but it was with all the guys that Jimmy Johnson had acquired. So after Jimmy left and Jerry Jones is like, you know what? I'm going to be the owner, the president, and the general manager, and I'm going to make all these things happen. And nothing has happened. And it's just going to get more and more and more expensive as we go down the line here. So I just kind of wanted to dog on the Cowboys there a little bit. One storyline, speaking of, you know, along those lines of waiting too long to come to go to the table and get a deal done with a player, I got to say the price tag on Trent McDuffie went up today. And if you hadn't had a chance to see it, the Carolina Panthers today signed a four-year, $100 million extension with J.C. Horn. And what that tells me, because J.C. Horn just signed the most lucrative contract by a defensive back in the history of the National Football League. 4 years, $100 million, $70 million guaranteed. I think that Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs might have waited too long to go to the table and try to get Trent McDuffie on an extension. And I mean, because you look at like Pat Surtain, he's making $24 million a year. I think you could have justified McDuffie making a little bit less than that. But now that J.C. Horn has signed for 25, I think the genie's out of the bottle now. And McDuffie is going to reset the cornerback market, whether it's an extension with the Chiefs or if he goes elsewhere.
I don't necessarily think he's going to top J.C. Horn. Maybe he can't. Maybe he does, but I don't think that's a guarantee. But I, you know, we talked about this on the Character Concerns podcast before we came on here. It is imperative that you get an extension done with McDuffie before the spring is done. First, you got to get a deal done with Trey Smith. I think that's really the prerogative right now because that gives you some cap flexibility. And I think it probably gets done before the league year starts on Wednesday because they're way over the cap right now. So you got to figure something out there. But I think after that, your big priority, hey, let's get a deal done with Trent. And I think once you do that, you have your financial flexibility because you still got two more years on the rookie deal for Trent McDuffie. So it's not like you had to worry about that money hitting anytime soon. You probably got I mean, what, in 26, he'll probably have a decent little cap hit because fifth year option. But after that, you probably won't have another big cap hit until like 28, 29. So you got some time to wait before that McDuffie cap hit really starts to blow up. But you want to get your financials in order way ahead of time so that you don't end up in a situation like the Ravens did after the 2012 season when they didn't want to pay Joe Flacco. They went and won the Super Bowl, and then they had to overpay to keep him in Baltimore. And they probably regretted that contract later on because he never was able to live up to that value that he did in 2012. Like I said, we just got done talking about the Cowboys. Cowboys are extraordinary at overpaying guys because they wait too long. So, yeah, I do think that's a big, important objective for the Chiefs in the offseason. I think they know that, but because they have this newfound interest in keeping Trey Smith, because they have the room to they seemingly have the room to do so, you got to figure that out, because that's imperative that you do it right now, because he's playing on a franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
But after that's done, you need to be hitting up Trent McDuffie's agent and trying to work out a long-term deal, because you want to get that locked up as soon as you can. That way you can figure out this year if you want to bring back George Karloftis, because that's going to be, I think, the biggest story of the year as far as like younger players on contracts go. Do they want to pay him a long-term deal? And it's going to be very much dependent on what he does this year.
My nerves surrounding a long-term deal for Trent McDuffie, just they continue to increase, because we can point to during Brett Veach's tenure as general manager, the Chiefs haven't expressed a real willingness to pay their DBs for long-term extensions, right? We saw Tyrann Mathieu come and go. We saw L'Jarius Sneed come and go. We saw Charvarius Ward come and go. We are probably witnessing right now Justin Reed come and go. So is Trent McDuffie a higher, you know, higher ceiling guy than those four players? Yes. And he's been healthier. I have to say, I disagree with you slightly when it comes to the Trent McDuffie thing. I think he is worth more money than J.C. Horn. I mean, he's a two-time All-Pro. J.C. Horn's never made an All-Pro team. He's got one Pro Bowl in four seasons. McDuffie's made two All-Pros in 3 years. He's got more career tackles, more career forced fumbles. He's got sacks and TFLs to go along with it. I am wildly concerned that the longer they wait to sign Trent McDuffie, the more likely it becomes that he ends up playing on the franchise tag potentially next, you know, not next season, but in 2 years, if they exercise the fifth year player option on him, then he plays on the franchise tag, or he is a trade him away for a early day two pick, a second or third rounder. And I don't want to see that. I want to see Trent McDuffie in a Chiefs jersey for a long time, because I think he's an elite corner.
I mean, it's possible he gets more than JC. That's why I think it's imperative you get it done as soon as possible, because you can at least argue that. Now, you know, regardless of whether or not he's actually, you know, the one thing that does hurt Trent is his size. He's not that big, and he's not your ideal outside corner. And so that does hurt his value some. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to be willing to pay anything to keep Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie prices go too high, they're going to do the same thing they did with Sneed, and they'll just draft an outside corner that's bigger. So, like, I don't think the Chiefs are like, hey, we'll match whatever number you want. I don't think that's the situation there. So if the price gets a little bit too high for Trent, I think the Chiefs are going to look elsewhere and then, yeah, try to move him, like you said. So, like, if that happens, it is what it is, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to look at that situation. If the Chiefs had their perfect cornerback, I don't know if it would be Trent McDuffie on the outside.
Mm.
I think they would want somebody that has a little bit more size, because we saw that in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That deep bomb down the field there, where actually not in the Super Bowl, in the AFC Championship game, where Josh Allen threw that ball up to Mac Hollins, and it was Trent did a really good job covering him, but he didn't have quite the arm length to be able to make a play on that ball like that. And I think J.C. Horn would have been able to make a play on that because he's a little bit taller, a little bit longer. So
I don't disagree. I don't.
I think because of the limitations, I don't know if he's quite as valuable as guys like Sir, but he'll still get near that, the amount of money that those guys get, provided they sign him as soon as possible.
Yeah, and right now the timetable that Brett Veach gave us, at least the latest timetable, they weren't going to be discussing extensions for other guys outside of, you know, Bolton and the free agents, you know, the free agent guys. The extensions for already under contract players, those aren't going to begin until after the draft, at least according to Brett Veach.
Yeah, which makes sense because you got to focus on, and on top of that, you have to make sure that you still have room for your draft players to sign on the salary cap. So, yeah, there's a lot of things they got to work out. But, yeah, I mean, I think they are going to try really hard to get a deal done with him at the very minimum before they go to camp.
At least they should. And it's going to be interesting to see if a deal like that gets done before or after a Trey Smith deal gets done. I'm of the belief that you got to take care of Trent McDuffie first. You worry about the Trey Smith thing second, and then see if you can figure out something with George Karloftis.
I think you got to do Trey first because of the tag. I think you got to, like, you still have a little bit of time, but I think you with McDuffie, I think you got to get it done with Trey because of the franchise tag, because that $23 million cap hit, that's gonna hurt if it's sitting on your salary cap during the season. So you get that done as quickly as you can.
Yeah. 913-586-7965 is our number. A lot more NFL news to get to. Wide receivers being dealt around the NFL. We'll talk about that next right here on After Hours with Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, the Rams are trying to figure out their wide receiver situation.
I think they got it figured out.
I think so. Just depends on what happens with Cooper Kupp. Oh, if they find a trade partner.
They're not going to find a trade partner.
Or the more likely of the two, I agree, is that they end up cutting him.
They've been trying to find a trade partner now for 6 months, and they've got nothing for it. Like if they were going to have a trade partner, it would have happened by now. Ain't nobody trading for that contract.
No. But they did decide to go ahead and sign the guy that will be playing opposite of Puka Nacua next season, and that is Devontae Adams. So Devontae Adams is going back to the West Coast, signing with the Los Angeles Rams on a 2-year deal.
Should have said back to Cali.
Back to the West Coast.
Going back to Cali. Come on.
I mean, he was with the Raiders there for a while.
No, but the Raiders are in Vegas.
Exactly.
No,
so
you're going. But he's from Cali.
I know where. I know. Played at Fresno State. I got it. I was just.
You missed the joke.
I was trying to. I was trying to lump in Vegas with it and say, you know,
you missed the joke, man.
I get the joke. I missed it. I admittedly.
You should have had that.
I'm sorry. Regardless, Adams is going on a 2-year deal with the Rams. He'll have $8 million in base salary this season, $16 million in salary next season, which tells me this is a 1-year deal for Devontae Adams. His base salary in 25, fully guaranteed with a $6 million roster bonus guaranteed on the third day of next league year in 2026 with a $12 million signing bonus. So he's due to count for $38 million on the Jets salary cap. And that's why the Jets decided to cut him. So now you've got Devontae Adams showing up with the Rams. And like we were mentioning earlier, the Rams are trying to figure out how they are going to get rid of Cooper Kupp. They have now said that they are going to cut him when the NFL's new league year begins on March 12th if they can't find a trade partner. And you and I are on the same wavelength when it comes to this, Chris. Nobody is taking on the $30 million contract that
Hell
he's
no.
set to have against the cap this year,
Hell no.
let alone the $27 million that's going to count against him in 2026.
Like,
no shot.
He is untradeable. Like, they remember they tried to throw the Chiefs in there, which I think they just called the Chiefs, and the Chiefs were like, yeah, now we're good. But they tried to insert the Chiefs into trade talks, like the Chiefs were really interested in trading for washed up Cooper Kupp. No, like that was, you're not trading that contract. That was never going to happen.
Absolutely not. So they will get nothing back in return for giving up Cooper Kupp, who, you know, at the height of his career was a phenomenal football player. I mean, that 2021 season where he went nuclear was an outstanding one to watch. 145 catches for 1,900 yards and 16 touchdowns. He was a Pro Bowler, first team All Pro. He was the Offensive Player of the Year. He finished top three in the MVP.
Should have won MVP.
Probably should have that year. I agree. I think that, you know, it's the same, along the same lines as the Saquon conversation. I think Saquon should have won the MVP this year, but I digress. That's kind of been the highlight of his career. He has had one other 1,000-yard season in his career. That's it. And the past couple of years, he has dealt with a ton of injuries. He played in only 9 games in 22. He played in 12 games in 23. And this past season, he played in 12 games. He is coming off a 67-catch year for 710 yards and 6 touchdowns. And so the games that he was able to play in, he was okay. You know, the last 2 years, he's averaged around 60 yards per game, but he's played in 24 of 34 possible games. He is approaching 32 years old now. I believe nobody was going to pay $30 million for Cooper Kupp to be on their roster this year. I'm not sure anybody is willing to pay half that for him to be on their roster this year. I know somebody in the text line was saying, you know, should the Chiefs make a run at Cooper Kupp? If they can get him for single digits, maybe.
If you can get him for a similar deal that you got Hollywood for,
right,
sign me up. I'm cool. I would love to have Cooper Kupp at a very manageable short-term deal. Not a lot of guaranteed money, maybe throwing some incentives in there, because you know them hamstrings ain't going to last all 17 games. He going to have a stint where he missed like 4 or 5 games because them hamstrings blow out. And then hopefully he gets healthy for the stretch run, and you got a nice veteran receiver as your third or fourth receiver.
Yeah.
That's ideal scenario.
Wide receiver 4, by all intents and, wide receiver 4.
Yeah.
In that sense, for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Unless he happens to be better than Hollywood next year, which I wouldn't bet on that, but you never know.
Yeah.
Whichever one, a hypothetical sign.
Whichever one stays healthy the longest is going to be the Chiefs wide receiver 3. Let's just put it that way. Now, I don't see it happening. Cooper Kupp's not going to land with the Kansas City Chiefs, but we can dream, can't we? 913-586.
We got a big signing. Big signing for the Chiefs.
Oh.
They signed James Winchester to a 1-year deal.
Yeah, the long snapper's back, baby. Let's go.
He got 1.55 million. So
let's go.
Good for James. They bring him back there.
Super Bowl 60, here we come.
He can keep snapping the football.
That's the one we needed. That puts the Chiefs back over the top again. They are once again the favorites in the AFC. James Winchester back in Kansas City one more year. We got one more hour coming up here on After Hours. 96.5 The Fan here. Logan Weber alongside Chris Unocero. Folks, stick around. This is your home for Kansas City sports.
Scenic Views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome to AT&T. How can I help?
Hey,